WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Student Section Podcast, Basketball Talk here. My name is Adrian Wesley. I'm coming to you with Zach, Trey, and Drew. It's our first episode, and we're here to talk a little NBA basketball, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Good, man.
Y'all ready to talk a little ball?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Well, look, let's not hold up, everybody. Let's dive right in. I think we should start with the young guys. Start with Chet Holmgren, OKC guy, and Wembanyama. Who got drafted number one to the Spurs, who has been talked about as a generational talent, maybe first pick if they did an all-time draft. So let's dive right in.
For sure.
Let's get your thoughts, Drew, on what you think about Wembanyama.
Well, obviously, you know, he's been talked about as being, I mean, one of the biggest generational talents that we've seen probably since LeBron, to
right.
be honest. I just think he's put in a perfect system. You know, San Antonio is a perfect
really?
Place for him to, you know, grow as a player. He's got a fantastic coaching staff around him.
I agree.
And I just think that this will really, really benefit him. And as long as he can stay on the court, I think that's one of the biggest, you know, keys for him. You saw what happened to Chet Holmgren last season.
Right.
You know, before the season even started, he had that foot injury and kept him out. So if he can stay healthy, I think the sky's the limit for him, honestly.
Really? What do you think?
Me personally, I mean, Greg Popovich, the best coach for him possible, because, I mean, what he made about, like, Tim Duncan, one of the best power forward to ever do it. I mean,
yeah, I
there's
agree.
No debate on that. He's the best power forward to ever do it. So, I mean, as a coach, from a coaching standpoint, that's just, like, the perfect position for Wembanyama. And it's promising to see, like, videos of him, like, in the off season using, you know, showing his flexibility and showing that he's really – taking his health and his body seriously.
Right, no, and I personally agree. I don't think there's really, you know, much different opinion that most basketball fans could have. Obviously, getting drafted by the Spurs as a number one pick. You know, you follow up number one picks such as Tim Duncan and David Robinson, who both played under Greg Popovich.
Steps.
Exactly, yeah. So,
some great,
you know, obviously their history players. Of number one picks has been on the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both those guys are Hall of Famers, both legends and both all-time great players. So, you know, hopefully Wembanyama can follow in those footsteps. He's a great player. You know, obviously he's the most hyped-up player of our time.
For sure.
I'm not sure. I don't know about that guy, but I'm not sure will he be as great as everyone's expected. I've seen kind of outrageous takes.
I could see that. Yeah.
I mean, it's just the amount of pressure that he has on his shoulders, man.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah, no, a couple of takes that I've seen were that his worst possible outcome was Kareem, and I was just like, wow.
Worst possible
outcome?
Yeah,
worst possible outcome was
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And I was like, yeah, okay, now you're setting him up for failure. And I also seen one that said within 3 years he'd be the best player not only in basketball, but he'd be the best player offensively and defensively in the league. And I was just like, look,
so
man.
Tough.
Yeah, I was
it's
like,
tough
like,
to say now.
Yeah, I was like, we're setting him up for failure if you do that type of thing. But obviously, he's a great player, a great prospect. Excited to see what he'll do. Kind of moving on to last year's number two pick. That's correct. Chet was number two pick, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To the OKC Thunder, like you said, you touched on. He got hurt. So last year in the summer camp, I landed on LeBron's ankle. Is that right?
Think something,
yeah.
something like that happened.
What's y'all's thoughts on Chet? Kind of similar players there.
Very, I mean, yeah, you know, just a little bit smaller than Wemby, but Chet is, you know, one of those guys that, again, if he stays healthy, sky's the limit. One thing I've noticed watching, you know, a bunch of preseason games is he can block just about any shot that you got. I mean,
right.
I've seen him have
his arms are so long.
Ridiculous.
He's a great shot blocker. Yes.
You know, really good shot blocker. I've seen him recently, you know, after the injury, especially, this is kind of impressive how he's able to create his own shot a little bit, drive, get to the basket. Even being so, like, slim and, you know, not having a lot of weight, he's able to, you know, create his own shot and do those kind of things. And I love that OKC team, like, that young, dynamic team. Really, really like
– they got some good up-and-coming
really
players.
Really like OKC.
Yeah,
like Jaden
no.
Williams, he's
I mean, yeah,
for
sure.
Shea.
The Williams brothers, yeah, absolutely. And then led by Shea, obviously.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that obviously that Chet is probably in a more conducive situation as far as like who he's surrounded by.
Mm-hmm.
Like OKC
sure.
has a lot of young guns that are really good. Obviously being led by SGA, who we will touch on later, who's in some people's eyes, highly ranked, really highly ranked.
No doubt.
But, yeah, no, Chet, with Jalen Williams, SGA's on that team, obviously. They got a lot of players that have a lot of potential. And I do think SGA – or, excuse me, I'm sorry. I think that Chet's probably in a better situation than Wembanyama is. Wembanyama's probably – expected to be, don't you think, the best player on the team automatically?
Oh, for sure, easily.
He's immediately the same. And this is why I said earlier that, like, he's in such a good position is because the offense is going to run through him.
Right.
You know, the team is going to run through
him. It's Wembanyama's team.
So,
oh, yeah.
It's a great
It's not Chet's team.
No, it's not Chet's team. By no means.
It's the same as how they had Tim Duncan. I mean, everything, they always fed the post. Right. Everything ran through Tim Duncan. So it's going to be the same thing.
And he's going to have, this has been touched on, which I think has been touched on as for Chet as well. They're both going to have to pack on the pounds, get a little bigger, especially Chet, who's already shown that he's, you know, I won't say injury prone, it's one injury, but still,
you know,
he's shown that, you know, maybe he needs to be a little more bulk, a little more lean to last in the NBA compared to college. Last time we seen Chet was obviously at Gonzaga when it was real basketball. We've seen him in summer camp and we've seen videos and
preseason.
You know, he was averaging about 15 points and 10 rebounds at Gonzaga. And they were really good. Obviously, we know what Wembanyama's been capable of, what he offered overseas. Just from a standpoint, do you think these are the two guys that are the favorites for Rookie of the Year? Do you think one of them will win it? If not them, who do you guys think?
I don't think
it's either one of these guys?
I think obviously these two guys have the best chance, but I'm telling you, I have a feeling that Scoot Henderson is going to surprise people.
I wouldn't say it would surprise people.
I wouldn't say surprise people, but I think so many people think that Wembanyama's going to
I think
win
everyone
of the
thinks
year.
Wembanyama's going to win.
And I just think Scoot Henderson's going to thrive on that Portland team kind of. And you know, I saw in an interview about someone asking him, how does it feel to follow in, you know, Damian Lillard's.
Right.
And he was like, I'm Scoot Henderson. Like,
I'm not Damian Lillard.
He's got that mentality that, like, you know,
he's
almost
a dog.
Scary. He's a dog for
That's
sure.
That's fair. And what do you think?
For me, I mean, it's hard to say now, but, like, Wemby and Chet, like, their first preseason game, Chet shot, like, 7 for 10, while Wemby shot, like, 8 for 13. So, like, their field goal percentage and their efficiency is looking really promising. But I don't know. It's hard to say. It's just one preseason game. I mean, Scoot, he's looking good, but, like, I just need to see more, man. I need to see more from now on. But, I mean, looking at it right now, I mean, Wemby's looking good, man. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's fair. I think you make a good point as far as touching on Scoot Henderson, who was obviously hyped up as well, who was for a while thought to be the second pick, end up being the third pick behind Brandon Miller, Alabama's own, who had, you know, he was pretty good himself.
He's looking solid, too,
he's
in preseason.
Solid.
Y'all saw that dunk?
That dunk,
they counted it off, but, like, it was.
And it don't matter. It counts. It don't count, but it counts.
It counts.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. I'm not sure. I don't think that Miller will – I don't know. I don't think Miller will be bad by no means. I just don't think that he will be in position to win Rookie of the Year. And I could be completely wrong.
I'm glad that Charlotte took him, though, instead of Scoot Henderson.
For the fit,
I think
so
Brandon Miller
better.
Fits so much better.
Along
with
LaMelo Ball and Terry Rozier.
Which I think that was really the whole dilemma. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole dynamic was, I think that most people in the basketball world thought that Scoot was a better player than Brandon Miller, but with Charlotte having the number two pick, Brandon Miller made more sense for their team moving forward versus Scoot, because you put Scoot and LaMelo together and it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I don't think it makes a lot
of
sense. Yeah, no. They're kind of similar, honestly.
Yeah, I think you would for sure be forcing it, but with Scoot, him being the third pick, I think he's in a fairly good position with the trades they made. Obviously,
that Portland got a bunch of guys.
They
off
did,
that, you know, off those trades.
They got Ayton. Ayton's
going to be good for him. Ayton's going to be really good for him.
They got
Malcolm Brogdon. They got
Brogdon. They have a good team.
They kept Anthony Simons.
They have a good team.
So
I think that
he's a
straight bucket.
Yeah, I really think that they did a great job of turning Damian Lillard into some valuable pieces that'll maybe they're not going to be Damian Lillard, but overall, if you add them all together,
it's what they needed to do.
They're growing.
They're for sure a respectable team. They're for sure a respectable team. And if I had to go Rookie of the Year, I think I'd go Scoot.
I'm going to go Scoot, too.
I think Scoot's in a very well position with the team he's got. He's got a good mix of youth and you know, vets. You know, he's got a good mix of both. And just overall, they have a good team.
Can I say a sleeper?
Go ahead.
Can I say a sleeper?
Give me
Cam
a sleeper.
Whitmore.
For, yeah,
I know he was picked very last on, like, what was it, pick 20?
He was picked 20, I'm
because
pretty
of
sure.
health issues or something like that, but he is a sleeper.
I agree.
Like, that guy is, I don't know. I don't know if he'll win Rookie of the Year, but I think we definitely have to watch out for him.
But he
went
to the Rockets, that's correct, right? Mm-hmm. But he's also on Thompson's team.
Yeah, Eamon and Nassar Thompson. They won't win Rookie of the Year,
the
but they're
Thompson
great
twins
picks.
Are dogs, man. Yeah.
On defense, I love them on
defense. Yeah, no, both of those guys are really, really good. So
I saw, wasn't it Eamon? He was locking up Devin Booker, or was it Nassar? I don't know. There's that one clip.
He was locking up Devin Booker. I think it was Asar.
I like the Thompson brothers a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Asar. But kind of moving on from the Rookie of the Year, right before we go to break, we're going to touch on something that's been major topic throughout the whole offseason. I did want to get you guys' thoughts on this whole James Harden saga, which it seems like, everywhere this guy goes, he ended in Houston bad. He forced his way out of Brooklyn. Now he's in Philadelphia, and it's just the same story. And look, great player, former MVP, top 75 player, Hall of Famer.
Of course.
There's one common denominator, and it's James Harden. So what is y'all's thoughts as far as how he's handled this situation? And he said multiple times that this is it can't be repaired with Philadelphia.
I mean, yeah, he's said over and over that this is, he's shown over and over with multiple different things that Philly is not where he wants to be.
Right.
If you could see it last season, with his relationship with Doc Rivers, wasn't good at all.
Yeah.
And, ultimately affected their postseason and, how they fell short. But James Harden, of course, as a player is, like we said, Hall of Fame player, and he's got the talent. But there's just a lot with James Harden that is kind of, like you said, it's a trend. Like, forced his way out of Brooklyn after things went bad. Then he got to Philly, and still it's just like there's always some kind of something.
There's always something.
There's always some
mm-hmm.
kind of situation going on, and I just think that I think that he needs to get out of Philly, because I think as long as he's there, he's literally said on like so many interviews that him in the front
multiple
office
multiple times
can't
it's
be,
just
can't
not going to work out.
That, as a Sixer fan and as a part of the Sixers, you got to see that and be like, this is not good for our franchise.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So
what do you think?
I want to show he showed up to training camp. Congratulations.
Right. He did.
He didn't gain 100 pounds. I mean, congratulations. But he's got nowhere to go. He's got no trade value. Mm-hmm. I mean, no teams besides the Clippers. And
trade.
I don't really know. I wouldn't even like him on the Clippers. Because, with their whole situation.
I like him on the Clippers.
I kind of like him on the Clippers.
Because I
but
feel like he
what do you not like? What do you like about him? What do you not like about him?
Because it's just another super team, and it's just another Brooklyn Nets situation, and it's just – he just won't fit, and it's just –
I feel like the difference between I semi-agree with that, but I feel like the difference with the Clippers is they have a lot more defense than the Nets have, and I feel like the Clippers, if they added James Harden, it would kind of give them that – obviously PG and Kawhi can score, but they're also really, really good defenders.
Right.
I feel like this kind of gives them a solid point.
And what happens to Westbrook? What happens to Westbrook?
Westbrook's off the bench anyways, though. He's their sixth man.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of regulated his
– I think he's accepted it, though.
He's accepted that role. I think he's a sixth man.
It's just a lot of personalities on, one team. A lot of people that want the ball. A lot of people that want to,
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
that's fair. I just don't
– But if you think of it from the
dynamic – On paper, it looks good, though.
Yeah.
On paper, it looks good.
If you think from the dynamic as far as a lot of names on team, Russell Westbrook and PG, this is their, second time playing together. This would actually be Harden – and Westbrook's
third time
playing together.
Oh, yeah,
OKC,
time.
Rockets, now Clippers, and obviously PG and Kawhi teamed up together.
Absolutely.
Like, they wanted to be together. So I think from that dynamic, it could work out.
And again, it goes back to being healthy.
They won't be.
Especially with the Clippers.
They won't be, because every single postseason, every single year that they've been together, it's never failed. Well, if we were healthy, we would have did this, we would have done
that.
Always
that
what
last
if, year,
yeah. There's
Phoenix,
always going to be that
what they
if.
Had, they went up a game, or I think they won the first. I think they won game one.
Yeah.
And then Kawhi did not play the rest of the series.
Well, 2 years ago, whenever they played Phoenix in the conference finals, and Phoenix ended up winning and advancing to the finals,
yeah.
they would have won that series had Kawhi not got hurt, which I think – it's shown itself that that's going to be the story with that team every year.
I don't. And then Westbrook had to carry that team.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no reason.
And one team, Westbrook, I mean, that's not going to win.
No,
that's not going to win, especially at this age.
Kawhi hasn't proven to me that, at least in my eyes, that he can stay healthy a full season. No. I won't believe
he
until
looks
I see
so
it.
Much slower, he's, too. If you look at him play,
for sure,
like
for
it's sure. night and day between
George
him
either.
And Toronto.
But same with Paul
Neither
George.
One of them have done anything in the last, you know, recent memory to show mm-hmm. that, hey, we're going to stay healthy through a full season. I just don't
and
think
only imagine what they can do if they do stay healthy. Because
I honestly think that they would already have a chip. I really do. But it's
maybe.
Speculation.
Maybe.
That's all it's going to be.
Yeah,
they're going to keep getting hurt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm going to keep getting hurt. But kind of ended it talking about Harden. What do you eventually think happens with Harden? Do you think he forces his way out? If so, where do you think he goes? Or do you think he sticks it out with them? What do you think happens? I'll tell you mine real quick. I think I could see him starting a season with them. I don't think by the season's end that James Harden is wearing a Philly jersey.
Completely agree.
Maybe by the trade deadline he's gone, but
yeah,
I completely. That's exactly what I was.
Is that
gonna
what
say.
You think happens?
I feel like he's gonna start the season with them. I feel like, you know, there's gonna be so much uncertainty with, you know, if he's really play, like, you know, obviously those last couple of games that he played in Houston weren't really that good. He didn't really perform that well because he wanted to be out of Houston. I feel like that's gonna similar situation's gonna happen in Philly, and I feel like he's gonna find his way out. I just hope he finds a team that he can be on the rest of his career.
That's fair.
If the Sixers truly won a championship, I mean, they have to get rid of him. He's just toxic. He's
can't,
just
can't
not
win.
Trust
that.
The process,
no.
right?
Trust the process.
Trust the process,
trust
man.
Trust the process. Well, with that being said, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little MVP race. Maybe look at Luka, look at Jokic, Giannis, see who we think is going to be up for the MVP this year. So we'll be back in just a moment.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Student Section Podcast here to talk some more basketball, guys. Let's dive right into it. We've already talked a good bit about basketball and about Rookie of the Year and about James Harden. Now we're going to talk about some of the big dogs in the league, who we think it's possible up for this year's MVP. Obviously, last year, Joel Embiid won an MVP. Like we said earlier, trust the process. A guy that I wasn't that big on. I kind of felt like it was participation award.
I agree.
I thought Jokic.
He
I thought Jokic.
They didn't want to give him three. They didn't want to give him three.
If you look at it, Jokic had a better year last year than his two MVP years.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting to me with last year. But last year's last year. Kind of moving on to this year, who's y'all's favorites? Who's y'all's favorites? You ain't got to say who you think wins it right away, but who's y'all's favorites coming into the maybe top five?
For MVP?
Yeah.
I don't know. You could say Luka, but they've been saying that for a couple of years now. But, I mean,
that's fair.
Coming off this year, Jokic is looking unstoppable. Like, it is just not fair. In that finals run, I mean, he was just, like, easily, like, at the end of his career, he could be, like, top 10, I don't know, maybe top 5 center of all time.
Like, okay, I thought you were going to say players. I say, wow.
No, not player. Not
we got to slow down.
I'm that's saying center. I'm saying
no,
center.
He's already a top 10 center.
Yeah, but top 5, he could be at the end of his career. I mean, just the way
he's
playing.
Well, who would be over him at this point?
At this point? I mean,
Wilt,
Wilt, Shaq, Kareem.
Kareem, obviously.
Bill Russell, Hakeem.
Tim Duncan.
He's a power forward.
Yeah, he's power
just
forward.
Straight center.
Those are only five.
Just straight center.
So he's
only five.
He really.
He's probably six. I mean,
he's definitely top 10. Like,
he's definitely
oh no,
top
he's
ten.
Already top 10 for sure. No,
but I'm saying getting to that top five and being one of the all time greats. Sky's the limit.
Yeah,
it might be a stretch. It might not be a stretch though. From based on what he did last year, he could be a top 10 player.
He's
ever by the end of his career if he keeps
for sure
going up. I mean, he's the first player. He's the first and the only player to ever lead the playoffs in points, rebounds, and assists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would have thought LeBron would have done that at least once.
You would think LeBron would have done that, yeah.
I still don't think that's the best playoff run we've seen, which is another big.
Ooh.
You think so?
I don't know.
It's hard
to
argue
because
he had the most points, rebounds, and assists.
It's the most dominant I've seen a player in a playoffs in, like,
it was just a disappointing series from the Heat, man.
I don't want to be that guy, but, dude – 2018 LeBron.
2018 LeBron was
unstoppable.
Especially with his team.
That's kind of what I take into factor if you see what he's carrying.
He did get swept in the finals.
But it was against the Warriors team that
was stacked. He had J.R. Smith? And then
Al Corver.
When his graphic, it would show J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson. And
Jeff Green.
And then the other graphic, you got
KD,
and
Steph
LeBron
Curry.
And Clay. Steph and Clay. Yeah. And then you have Draymond, who's a Hall of Famer. Iguodala, who's a Hall of Famer, and they're not even in the graphic. So it's like.
Yeah.
Like, that Toronto series was insane. Like, all those game winners he was hitting and stuff.
Pacers series, crazy.
Pacers series was crazy. I mean, that whole finals, I just remember it's just.
Yeah, it was crazy. But still, kind of going back to topic, we kind of got in a rabbit hole. Yeah. Who would be. You say Jokic. Who are some of the other guys? I guess Giannis
is just like a given. I mean,
I was actually my front runner was Giannis until the Damian Lillard trade,
because they kind of cross each other out.
Because it's tough to win MVP when you have especially a superstar level player like Dame on your team.
Yeah,
it's a little bit difficult. And I'm not saying he can't. Because obviously, Giannis is he was. Voted number, best player this season.
Interesting.
Which
we haven't seen too many players win MVP with another,
which
we'll call it top. Dame's probably top 15, but we can say absolutely. A top 10 caliber player on their team. Whenever LeBron won with Wade was probably in that 9 to 10 range.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest. Obviously, KD and Curry kind of canceled each other out. KD and Westbrook canceled each other out. Harden and Westbrook. Usually when you get two top 10 caliber guys on one squad, they usually, for the most part, cancel each other out as far as
he said it was Dame's team. Like, to the beginning of the season, he said it was going to be Dame's team.
He's just going to do his best.
Giannis said that?
Mm-hmm. Giannis said that.
Yeah, this is not Dame's team.
It's not. It's Giannis's team. He's just going to do
1,000% not Dame's team. Even though if he says
that's
that.
That's what he said.
He's
going
to do his best to try to get Dame a ring, which, rightfully so. I like Damian Lillard.
Love Dame.
So I hope, all the
best for the
Bucks.
I don't think they win
the
ring, though.
They got a good solid player. Who's that guy that's up and coming that, have y'all heard of that guy?
Whose team is he on? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm, the guy for the Bucks.
I mean,
he scored 81 points in this summer league team.
Oh, yeah.
He's good.
Weird name.
Bochamp, something
that. Yeah,
They got guys like Chris Middleton. They kept Brooke Lopez.
Middleton's on the down. Funny enough, Lopez is. As he's aging, he's getting a lot better.
Lopez is
getting better.
I know.
That's what I honestly feel like.
Top in defensive player of the year rankings.
Yeah, he's getting a lot better. For me, I think that, outside of the obvious, I think that obviously Giannis and Jokic are right up there for the MVP. I think year 21 LeBron, if he stays healthy, I don't think he'll win it. I don't think Curry will win it. I think he'll, have a spurt. I kind of want to give a sleeper. I think. And look, man, I'm sipping the Kool-Aid. We talked about it. We have a group chat outside of this. Anybody listen, we have a basketball group chat outside of this. I said, don't be surprised if the Kings make the conference finals.
Yeah.
I think I'm just sipping their Kool-Aid in general. De'Aaron Fox.
I don't hate it. I don't hate that at all.
Okay, look.
I don't know.
If you take in the teams in the West, some of the teams that you think are the favorites are the Lakers and the Nuggets and the Suns. Okay. You look at all those teams and their top guys, KD, Kyrie, LeBron, AD, now Jokic, Murray. All those guys have won championships, which usually kind of leads sometimes to teams coasting through the West or coasting through the regular season. And then when the playoff ball comes, now it's time to lock in. I think that the Kings are young. They're hungry. They got a taste of the playoffs last year.
They played good against the Warriors.
They played good
against
the Warriors.
Just based off that, how Fox played against the Warriors.
I was, rooting for them for a second. Like, they were, they were very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, so I could see them really being one of those teams, kind of like the Grizzlies, who are always just try hard, are going hard in the regular season, and Fox putting up 27-7-7.
Sabonis, a great player.
Sabonis,
all-star.
Yeah.
They got Keegan Murray. He's just going to continue to get better.
Keegan Murray is good.
He's going to continue to get better.
And with Fox, the head of the snake, I could see them making a big run in the regular season and him having a real shot at winning.
Like you said, they don't have another superstar level player on that team.
They have good players, though. Malik Monk. Wouldn't even say Monk.
Malik Monk, yeah. He's
dog.
Really good.
Oh, yeah.
Dog,
oh,
yeah.
Dog. Who would be y'all's sleeper pick? Because I think we know the Lukas of the world and the Currys.
Obviously, the main guys. If I had to pick a sleeper pick.
People are saying Jay.
Who?
I just don't think their team will do good.
Wait,
enough.
Wait, who'd you say?
Shea. People were saying Shea.
Shea, I'm sorry, I apologize. I thought you said Chet, and I was about to say what?
Maybe not.
No,
maybe
not.
I said, what? We were talking about him for Rookie of the Year. I was like, wow, that's a jump.
I just don't think.
I don't think
their team will be good enough.
Nah,
people are saying
he'll put up the he'll put up MVP numbers.
I mean, I love Shea as a player, though.
He'll put up MVP numbers. He will, but he won't. Their team won't be.
He did last year.
Because I mean, we've only seen one player. Which was Westbrook when he averaged a triple double,
of course, and that year
when there weren't like a just top level team.
That was right after KD left, and Westbrook.
The narrative was just
stupid.
Yeah,
crazy.
You got to be top three. That from what we've been showing.
Yeah,
because Embiid, were they third seed last year?
Yeah.
Because Celtics would have been one, and one was the Bucks.
One was the
two was the Celtics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they were third. You're not winning outside of the top three,
unless
you just do something just astronomical.
Mm-hmm. Like Westbrook did when the average triple level. So
So who would be your sleeper?
My sleeper. I don't know. It's hard to say. I love. If Devin Booker just wasn't surrounded with Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal,
right?
Like, he's such a like
he would be the.
Like he would be, because he really came into his own last year during the playoffs. I know how they lost to the Nuggets, but the way he was performing was
KD.
No, Devin Booker.
Okay,
I mean, KD played
Booker,
good too.
Okay,
but
you
Devin
said
Booker,
KD and I. Book was going crazy in those playoffs.
He was going,
which is one of those things. Now you add Beal, and it's like now you got Beal
and they're saying
KD.
He's going to run the point. Which is like
Bill or Book?
Bill. They're saying Bill's going
to
run.
I mean, I don't hate that. I mean, one of them has to. I mean,
one of them has to.
I think you would take Bill at point over Book.
I agree.
I think it's
more
similar.
Like off ball opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both have really similar games, though, like coming off ball, like coming off screens, getting to their shots. But, like, to say that one of them runs the point, it just, like, I don't know. It just, like, limits them so much. And I don't really know how that's going to work for them.
I don't. And I could be wrong. I don't think it could hurt, because we talked about it a little bit earlier. I think if you take in the playoffs, they were the team that challenged the Nuggets the most, and
and
it was basically just KD and Book.
They were the only team that put. Oh yeah, they had.
It
no
was basically
it was
just Book and KD just out there,
and they
like
got some good
carrying the team
off that trade too. They got Grayson Allen. They got
Yusuf Nurkic, who is kind of
Yusuf
the replacement.
Nurkic.
Which I think Yusuf Nurkic. You can say what you want to about him as a player versus DeAndre Ayton. I think Yusuf Nurkic fits the Phoenix Suns a lot,
and he adds more shooting.
Ayton does.
He adds shoot.
And they get rid of that contract.
Is Grayson Allen is Grayson Allen too?
Yeah.
I guess he's a two guard.
Yeah,
it depends. Yeah,
I mean it depends.
I guess it depends
but
who's in the game.
He's probably on a guy they probably like to keep it six man too.
Yeah.
He's probably more
of
a six man than
sure.
than.
They also got Nazir Little,
which is it's all
Nazir
exactly.
He's solid.
Yeah. He's solid.
He's solid.
All they needed was defense and a bench.
3-and-D guys.
And they got that
players to fill the team out.
The Nets,
Utah Watanabe. Yeah,
he was leading the league in 3-point percentage.
Yeah, no,
I think he shot like 47%.
It was
insane.
It was something like that.
He's a sniper.
He's pretty crazy.
Straight sniper.
Wow. 47% is kind of wild.
Mm-hmm. That is wild.
So who would be your sleeper? So mine is De'Aaron Fox. Yours is Book.
I mean, sleeper, I don't know. There's a lot of.
No, I won't say Book for mine.
Who would you be?
I'll say just because, and I don't like this team, but I like this player. I'll say Jason Tatum. Is he technically a sleeper?
I don't know if Jason Tatum.
I'm not sure if he's a sleeper.
I kind of got a sleeper, though, because, this is a real sleeper. And he came into, the what do you call it?
Preseason?
Yeah, not preseason, but, all those, meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
I forget what you call it, but, he had the emo cut, and y'all know who
Jimmy?
I'm talking
Jimmy.
About.
Jimmy?
Y'all know I'm talking about. I kind of agged onto it, but, I don't know.
That's
Jimmy.
Fair. I don't know. I don't think so, though. No, he's a good sleeper pick, though. You're right.
He's a good sleeper.
I don't think that
it's
a good sleeper pick.
Yeah.
I don't ever see Jimmy performing regular season.
He shows up in the playoffs.
He's just one of those guys that are like, hey, look, man, we're just going to coast through the regular season and the playoffs. Let's go.
But you saw in the head.
But he's a great sleeper pick.
An interview he had recently, he was like, we're going to be back to the finals this year. And it's just, I'm like, I would love to believe it because I do love Jimmy Butler, but it's like
my brain is telling me absolutely not. Heck no. With all these new additions like the Celtics, the Bucks, then you got the Nuggets still.
Had they gotten Dame?
Ooh, and you know Jimmy's like sad because he didn't get Dame, because I feel like that would have been such a good fit.
I think I mean, if a team goes to the finals and they add a player like Dame, they would have them in the favorites.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now you're third, and, like, are you still, like, with the offseason you had, you're right there neck and neck with the Sixers, so you possibly could be fourth.
And they gave up a lot of assets. They gave Gabe Vincent, the guy.
Oh, yeah, Max went their way.
Yeah, so it's like you lost your starting backcourt. You got worse.
No team is beating Milwaukee or Boston in seven games out of the East.
I don't see it.
I just don't see
a way in which those are not the two teams in the conference finals.
Absolutely.
Unless bar, like, somehow they play second round. Yeah, but, like, besides that, like, those are the best two teams in the East,
there's injuries and stuff. Like,
Just, like, all teams healthy, all in all, like.
All teams healthy, yeah. I'd be shocked if you don't see them in the conference finals. The Celtics and Bucks, yeah, I'd be shocked.
No. And I personally see I think the Celtics are going to come out of the East. I think the Celtics come out of the East because you add Drew Holiday and Porzingis.
I love Drew Holiday. Porzingis
has been hooping.
Dude,
he's looking nice.
That, and you keep Al Horford. They did lose Malcolm Brogdon.
And they obviously lost Marcus Smart.
But here's the thing.
But you got Drew Holiday.
Does what Marcus Smart does, but better.
100%.
He provides offense.
So, like, you can't say Marcus Smart, but you replaced him with somebody who does exactly what he does.
But better.
He's literally an all-star last year.
Yeah, even if you want to say, you can nitpick who's better, but they're basically, like, the same. You know what I'm saying? They're the same guy.
They're pretty
much you replaced him with Drew Holiday. Porzingis, you replaced with what's my guy's name? You don't replace him with Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Brown is, like, the biggest.
Robert Williams.
Porzingis is better than
Robert Williams. Robert Williams is solid.
Porzingis provides.
He's always hurt, though. Porzingis is, too, though.
Robert Williams didn't provide, which is being able to stretch the floor.
Yeah. I think Porzingis is for sure.
The floor.
Yeah.
I mean,
Robert Williams may be a better defender than Porzingis, but his ability to stretch the floor, I think, outweighs the.
Yeah.
Porzingis is a good shot blocker, though.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think if you take into account offensive gap between Porzingis and Williams, I think that gap's bigger than the gap of defense between Porzingis and Williams.
That is true. Yeah.
So I think the Celtics have really
– I agree.
They've gotten really better. Nice.
But either way, it's like we said, I think it's the Bucks and the Celtics out of the East. So with that, I did want to get y'all's thoughts before we head to break on this ongoing – Kai Jones situation, former Charlotte Hornets player who's here recently been waived by the Hornets. In my estimate, looks like he's having a mental breakdown, social media stunts and Twitter rants and all type of different things. What's y'all's thoughts on him? And do you think it was fair that he was cut from the team?
It's just weird, dude. Like, I just remember, like, hearing about these IG lives and he's, like, dissing his teammates, talking bad about them. And I'm like,
Doesn't make sense.
Your team is already hurting now because of Miles Bridges and the choices that he's decided to make.
Who turned himself in today.
Miles Bridges, man.
Did you see that? Y'all see that mugshot?
Yeah.
Smiling his mugshot.
Miles Bridges.
I don't get it.
He's a different breed.
And it's sad because he was good. Like, he wasn't, like, you know.
27 days, 27 nights.
Before his time that he was, like, going into, I mean, like. He was going to be like a borderline all-star.
No, he was. Bridges? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bridges is a good player.
For sure.
He was going to be like an all-star.
Charlotte Hornets is the equivalent to, like, the Raiders. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but when the young guys that go there, it just always is trouble.
It's just dysfunctional, man. Or maybe even the Denver Broncos. I don't know. It's just like.
Yeah, it's trouble.
Yeah.
Well, so, but what did you think of that Kai Jones situation? As far as, did you feel like it was fair that he was cut from the team?
I mean, you mentioned mental breakdowns. I don't know all the details about that, but as far as his actions and what they're going through, I just don't think that's acceptable. I mean, to diss your teammates on, like, social media and stuff, and
right.
I don't know. That's just not acceptable. I think it's completely fair.
I think it's completely fair.
Really?
Too.
If he comes out with something saying, like, hey, I have this mental health issue or something, maybe then you could say.
That's one of those things.
But then you could say
who says they
have
a mental health issue?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who going through a mental breakdown?
Probably a lot of,
like,
denial with that, too.
Yeah, who's like,
have a problem.
Hey, I'm going through a mental breakdown. Most guys in a mental breakdown.
They don't want to talk about it. Or they just don't acknowledge that they're in it. So.
Yeah, go ahead. Right.
Doesn't mean
No, that, and that's that's a fair assessment.
Absolutely.
Okay, I think y'all are all on the same stance that it's fair he should be off the team.
What do you think?
I think I'm going to play devil's advocate. I think for me personally, like, just a guy – especially, like, okay, you have another situation on your team with Miles Bridges, who it's public, like, what happened between him and his love life with his partner. And just it seems like
– he just threw everything away, man.
It seems like, though, that the Hornets were all on board with trying to help him or trying to implement him back into the team, which it felt like morally he did something – more wrong than Kai Jones, which I know from a team perspective, it's like, come on, man, why are you talking about your teammates? But like, if you watch his lives, his Instagram reels, or his videos, or whatever you want to say, and then you look at his Twitter and reading and what he's saying, I think it's fairly obvious that this guy's like, something's going on behind the scenes,
absolutely,
far more important and far away from a basketball perspective. I just think that it was a little hypocritical to buy into one guy who was doing something wrong. And then the other guy, you're like, nah, like, this guy's a bum. Like, get this guy off my team.
Yeah, because Miles Bridges, he was more valuable for him. But the thing
that's the reason, though. That is the reason, which is it's like, from a business aspect, that's, you know, you keep whoever's helping you the most. But his from just, like, a moral aspect, is that, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, come on, man, like, just help this guy out.
The stuff he was doing is just unacceptable. Miles Bridges. I get you. Like, I mean,
100%. 100%.
And then Kai Jones, I mean, he did that stuff. But like you're saying, it is a business. And, I mean, the dude was going to be an all-star. And they know that, obviously.
Oh,
looking
yeah.
at the stat sheet. And they're like, we want this guy back. No matter what.
Oh, for sure. Which, that's one of those things you could kind of switch it over to another scenario with somebody actually we're going to touch on in this last segment about top players in the league, Ja Morant, who was ranked 35 by ESPN, which is pretty crazy. But
it is pretty crazy.
If Ja Morant's not putting up Ja Morant-like stats and Ja Morant-like highlights, he's not even in the league.
No.
Much less, he's not on the grid. He's not on the bench. He's not in the league.
He's not in the league.
Toting guns. But since you're a first-team All-NBA performer, superstar, you having guns here and there is not as big of a deal.
You got to show respect to him. I mean, he's a hooper.
It's just sad what's happened. You know, he got, you know, the one time and then the second time.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? It's kind of like that Michael Williams situation.
Yeah.
What are we doing, man?
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, we're going to go to break, come back for the last segment. We're going to touch on the top 10 players in the NBA, who we think they are, who ESPN thinks they are, who is wrong. We are right here at Student Section Podcast. But with that, we'll be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, guys, Student Section Podcast, Basketball Edition, back here for the last segment of the show. Coming to you, as we talked about for the break, that we're going to touch on ESPN's ranking of the top 100 players, going to kind of dwindle that down to the, you know, top 10, top 50, somewhere in that range. First, we kind of wanted to touch on the Ben Simmons situation. So, you know, Ben Simmons, highly scrutinized player that the media loves to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Former number one pick, coming out of LSU, former 76er, trust the process type of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
What y'all's thought on him and his upcoming season? Think he gets back to his old form?
I hope so.
I hope so, man. Yeah. Every preseason game, like, they always have this game where, you know, he has an open three or he has an open jump shot, and he splashes it, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, he can shoot now.
If it was based on summer workouts, this guy would be the GOAT.
Yes.
Like, summer videos.
I hope that – I feel like it's a mindset thing with him. I feel like he has the skill set to go back to how he used to play.
I agree.
I think it's a level of confidence that he has, and he's like, you know, built it. Because so many people around him, you know, especially the whole Sixers fan base are like, you know, this guy is terrible, this guy's trash. But I feel like if he can get back to the confidence level he had, you know, when he was performing at his best, I hope he – because, you know, preseason, obviously, he's been doing really, really good. So I hope he can, you know, that translates to the actual season.
No, I do agree. I think that Philadelphia in particular is one of those cities where – it can be really good for you, it can be really bad. Because if they love you, I agree, you're the man. But if they hate you, get out of here. Like, we don't want you on the team.
Tyrese Maxey, he is, like,
the man.
The man.
Everybody loves him up there. Embiid, the man. Mm-hmm. But Ben Simmons flamed out, and everybody up there hated him. So,
yeah,
I do think that he goes into this season with probably, the most healthy he's been in a while, and with the least pressure. Mm-hmm. And so I think that he's going to play free, like we, talked about. He looks good.
He does.
In these videos, but he looks good every summer, though.
True. Yeah.
He looks great every single summer.
And then when that season rolls around,
the season? That's the most interesting
part.
And
if he can go back to his role as, like, where he was his first 3 years, mm-hmm. where he was an all-star, I want to say two or three of those years. Did he make All-Star as a rookie?
He was
in contention. Maybe if he didn't, he was in contention.
Yeah, definitely.
But he was averaging 16 points, 8 rebounds,
playing
8 assists.
Like a number one overall
picture player.
For a period of time,
he was a consistent All-Star.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they were comparing him to LeBron and stuff. Which was very unfair.
No doubt.
But still, like you said, consistent All-Star, top player. You know, you average 16, 8, and 8 with the defense he plays. That'll work. If he can get back to that level, I think the ship has kind of sailed on the him being, a big scorer. He's not that player.
But he's a great defender.
He's a great defender.
Great playmaker.
He give you 16 points on high efficiency and also rebounds and assists.
Yep.
I mean, you'll take it, especially with that team, because
I like the Nets.
Mikal
Bridges is kind of coming into his
solid.
Own.
I think he's your scorer. Mikal Bridges is your scorer, especially how he ended last season.
Keldon Johnson.
What'd you say?
Cam Johnson.
Or Cam
Johnson.
My bad.
No, you're good. I would definitely say that Mikal Bridges is a scorer, but I think Cam Johnson can be a secondary scorer.
He played good for Team USA. Played solid.
Yeah, so. And they got that continuity full all season between that team. They might be able to make some noise.
And Dennis Smith Jr.
And don't forget about Dinwiddie.
That's a nice team out there, man. Yeah, that's a nice team there. You know, first round exit, though, for sure.
It's the East. It's tough. Yeah.
You really never know in the East. They'd really peak. They'd peak in second round.
And Dennis Smith is going to be a good backup for him. Good backup.
Yeah,
for sure.
Solid defender.
For sure. Well, kind of with that, let's kind of move on to something that's been talked about all over Twitter, all in the basketball world here the last couple of days, is ESPN's annual ranking of the top 100 players. Mm. We can do complaints. We can do what we like, what we don't like. What's y'all's thoughts on this list?
I'll start with, obviously, the big part, number one being Giannis and not Jokic.
Right.
I don't understand, which I think this is kind of – we talked about this before. But
right,
like,
all fair.
I don't understand what Jokic could have done more to be the number one ranked player.
No.
I mean, you saw him in the playoffs. He his efficiency and his ability to just dominate games.
What more can you do?
Incredible.
Well, I mean, if you lead the playoffs – in points, you lead the playoffs in rebounds, and you lead the playoffs in assists, and you're the only player in NBA history to do that. And not only do you do that, you win the finals.
Win finals MVP.
And you
obviously.
Win finals MVP. I mean, like,
and
none
no
of the
series.
I mean, no series goes
Phoenix
seven.
Phoenix went to six, but, like, still they blew Phoenix out in game six. I mean, they didn't really have a close series.
You dominate AD. You dominate KD.
Yeah, he,
and AD's the only one that can really guard him.
He played some of the league's, better center.
He shot, 48% from three for the playoffs as a center.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure what more you could possibly do.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Trey, what do you think?
I definitely think Jokic should have got the three-peat MVP.
That's true, yeah.
For sure.
I honestly don't like how the race car was pulled with Embiid's situation, like how Perkins did it on TV.
No, I 100% agree. I think that had a big deal on why that narrative changed.
That's true. That was ridiculous.
That was foolish.
Because they were neck and neck, like performance-wise, but it shouldn't have been that card.
As soon as that card was pulled, it was like, Embiid's the MVP.
Exactly.
Because it makes it seem like he was, like, crying about the award instead of actually trying to get it, just to be – and actually players shouldn't even be focused on that necessarily. Like, at the
but
end
Embiid,
of the day,
Embiid was.
You should be focused on the championship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, 100%.
Oh, yeah. They should be focused on making their team better.
And that's another thing about Jokic is he doesn't care at all about that.
Not in the
kind of
slightest.
Stuff. Not even, like, remotely.
Could not
he
care less.
Go back to Serbia.
Could not
watch
care
his
less.
Horses race.
Exactly.
I mean,
he,
like,
don't care about that.
Doesn't care.
No.
And he's still a top 10 center all time. And
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that I'll kind of lead it off from there. For me, as a guy who I've said is – I think he's a young guy, very young guy. It's Ja Morant, who's obviously been very, did some very questionable things, especially in the last year or so.
Of course.
But from a basketball standpoint, I just cannot understand for the life of me how this guy is ranked as a 35th best player in the NBA.
There aren't 34 basketball players better than Ja Morant.
No shot. No shot. I seen a stat yesterday said that he's one of three players in NBA history to score 45-plus points in a playoff game before the age of 24 at least twice. The other two were LeBron and Kobe.
Wow.
So I just don't I don't really understand from any basketball perspective as a player what you could possibly say that there's 34 guys better than him. I mean, you take two All-Star teams and there's not – just from that logical standpoint, there's not 35 total players on the two All-Star teams, and he makes the All-Star team the last 3 years. So how is there 34 players better than him?
Yeah, completely agree with that.
Mikal Bridges is over him. That makes no sense. I'm just going down the list.
All the controversy. ESPN.
That's it.
And honestly, I feel the same way you do about Ja, I feel about Kyrie Irving. I don't feel like there's 33 basketball players better than Kyrie Irving.
Those are kind of two of like the black sheep, so to say, in the NBA.
So much drama around them. And
let's just let's look at this right here. Okay, well, I'm at 35 is Ja. 34 is Kyrie. Now I'm just going to name you some of the players ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And I said Ja. You can throw Kyrie in that list. Mikal Bridges, no. Jalen Brunson,
no.
I do like Jalen Brunson.
He's great. Never been an All-Star.
Good, but he's not better than them.
No, never been an All-Star.
But he was hooping, though. He was hooping.
Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Absolutely not.
No, sir.
How is he, how is he on the Memphis Grizzlies?
Paolo Banchero.
That's what I was saying when I saw that.
And I was a guy who said Paolo was the number one player in his draft over all the other guys when people didn't think he was. But how is he better than Ja?
I like Paolo a lot.
What are we doing?
But right now, that's like they need to slow down.
I love the way he played last season.
Yeah,
like,
great player.
He's playing great.
I don't want to disrespect him.
Better
great
than
player.
Ja.
And he played great for Team USA, but like, I mean.
Lauri Markkanen? He went from not – he wasn't ranked in last year's version.
He did have a great season last year.
Great season, but come on. One season doesn't put you
– above
somebody that's been like consistent. That. Brandon Ingram, no. B.I.'s consistently injured.
And just
– Drew Holiday is one of my favorite players. I think Drew Holiday is my favorite player who's not a
but to say he's
mainstream
better,
guy, but how is he better than
– To say he's better than Ja and Kyrie is just shocking. A stretch.
These lists are just
– they amaze me.
That would be my main gripe.
Yeah.
Also, one more gripe, and then I'm going to pass it off to you. I'm not sure how Curry's number five. I'm a firm believer in the best three players right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic one, and then I say you can put Giannis or Curry at two or three. Those are the last three finals MVPs, the last three top guys to win a championship, lead their team to the championship.
I completely agree with that because I don't I mean, Curry, the level of, you know, it's every year, and he's getting old. I mean, what is Curry, 35?
35 now.
He's 35.
And he looks better, though.
And he just looks better than he did the season before.
Yeah.
I don't know how
insane.
And the guys over him are Luka and Embiid, like 4 and 3. I mean, Embiid flames out. He almost averaged double digit points less in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then he did in the regular season. And then Luka didn't make the playoffs. The last time we seen him in the playoffs, he got swept. By
and
who?
Look at,
by Curry.
By Curry.
So I'm not really sure. I don't know.
And just Curry and that finals run, you know, 2022
was nuts.
Was insane, you know.
Yeah, it was nuts. But by the GMs, ESPN, I guess, has their own people that rank.
It may be age. I mean, that's that.
Maybe.
But, I mean, still.
They might be predicting that he's not going to be that good this season. I don't know.
I don't know.
But to count him out, I mean, it's Curry.
It's Curry, man.
You can't count Curry out.
Only unanimous MVP, which he shouldn't be, honestly. There should be Shaq should have been and LeBron as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
What was your – did you have any complaints or any – you know, anything that you liked about the list?
I mean, like y'all mentioned, y'all said Giannis, y'all said
Curry.
Curry at five is just disrespectful. And then to see Shea at eight, I mean, can we pump the brakes right? Like,
has quickly become the most overrated player.
I get, like – I get that, like – he was averaging like 34 or something. 32?
I think he averaged 32.
He was averaging
6 and 5. He had
which is insane.
Great season,
season,
hell of a season. But
yes,
still.
Of course.
But OKC, but they didn't have like anyone on their roster that year.
No,
I mean Jaden Williams, a rookie. Lou Dort, it's Lou Dort. Like,
It's Lou Dort.
He's solid, but it's Lou Dort. I mean, to say he's a number eight player, look at his team. I mean, he's just a guy that's going off. Like, Bradley Beal, he did the same thing in Washington a couple years back where he was averaging, like, 30 a game.
Right.
And he's he wasn't a top 10 player that year.
No.
I mean.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not really sure.
Who'd they put at nine?
Bron.
They put Bron at nine.
So, like, you put him over LeBron, and it's like, eh, like he,
it's LeBron James.
I mean, it's LeBron, but, it, you know, obviously, I guess they're factoring in age, of course. But I don't know. That's still so tough to.
I'm not sure is this list based off what they think they're going to do this year.
I think that's
just based off last year, here are the top 100
exactly.
Because last year, LeBron was 29, 8, and 6. And was the best player on a conference finals team.
And he's literally 38 years old.
So it's like.
And didn't have much. AD didn't help him that much last year in the playoffs.
I mean, he did. I don't know about that one.
I mean, he was asleep a little bit. I'm not going to say he just performed every game, but let's not just discredit AD.
Defensively, AD went crazy last year.
I just feel like he could have been, at times in that Nuggets series, I feel like AD could have been more aggressive.
Especially offensively.
That's his biggest problem.
I would agree.
I want to see bubble AD again. Like, you know, him just shooting shots from three and just really being aggressive on offense. Sure. I mean,
he was getting downhill more too, like getting to the lane.
100%. That's true. Getting more physical,
way more physical,
and just looking for a shot more. I mean, like,
especially
this year, LeBron, he needs him more than ever.
I mean,
he's gonna do good, but like,
it's gotta
with
be
him. AD.
LeBron said it's AD's team.
It's AD's team now.
Now that might be. It's supposed to be AD's team 3 or 4 years ago.
Top, D'Angelo Russell has to step up too.
Austin Reeves
disappeared in the playoffs last year.
Austin Reeves was carrying, and he wasn't even drafted. And like, he wasn't like, but Austin Reeves, he's been doing good for him, but D'Lo, he definitely needs to step up.
I would definitely agree with that take as far as SGA is, I think, was probably the most overrated player on the list. I'm not exactly sure how you could view last year's playoffs and make any legit argument that he was better than Devin Booker.
No, absolutely.
Devin Booker, not even to be seen in the top 10.
Devin Booker,
crazy.
I just don't know how, like, what was, I'm not really sure. But
the efficiency Book played with, I mean, he was scoring 45, 47,
and
shooting the ball like 70%. It was crazy.
Insane. With that, we're kind of running out of time, which for you, we will be back next week. Real quick, guys, y'all got any last thoughts, anything y'all want to say on basketball, NBA?
Think we're good.
Think we're good.
Think we're good. Trey, you got something before we go?
Hey, watch out for the Lakers, man. I'm calling.
Watch out. Hey, look. I'm going to call my shot on the first show. I'm going to say Lakers-Celtics finals.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm going to say Lakers-Celtics.
Lakers-Celtics?
Okay, just because I want it to happen, I'll say Suns-Bucks part two.
Okay. Ooh, got anything before we go? You going to leave for next
week? Just
because
I'm a biased Dallas Mavericks and we're winning the championship. Let's go.
Dallas
up, baby.
Well, with that's the end of the show. We will be back next week to talk more basketball.